Going to open to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, if you can find that in your Bible. In my Bible, it'd be page 486, and so if you turn there, you'll be pretty close to where we're going to be looking today. And we have been speaking about the miracles of the prophet Elisha. He performed under, of course, God's direction. He performed about 13 miracles. And today is really an incredible miracle that we look at. It's probably one that has enticed most skeptics to disbelieve the Bible. And that is the miracle of a floating axe head. Very interesting here, an incredible miracle. So we're going to read together here in the Word, 2 Kings chapter 6, and looking here at verse 1, the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, too small. We've got too small of a living space. So they said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place here where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. They wanted Elisha to accompany them into this building project. So they went with them, or he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? Where did it fall? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in hither, and the iron did swim. And therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand, and he took it. So what we see here, the prophets needed to expand their living quarters. And so we can surmise that the school of the prophets here, it's located either in Jericho or Gilgal, that city. So now they needed to build an addition. And each man took a beam of wood. I don't know what it was, a 4x4 or something like that. And each man took that and traveled over to the place where they were going to build this addition. Everyone got involved in the project. And I think how important that is that every person in the church should pick up their own beam to help. You know, we all have to do our share of the Lord's work. It seems in most churches, it's they say it's about 10% of the people that do about everything. And I wish it was different. But the Lord will bless those who serve him. But notice that they invite or request the prophet Elisha to come with them. They wanted the prophet there. And you say, well, why? Why would they need him? Well, I don't think it was to supervise them, but they realized by experience that if something was going to go wrong, they had a miracle worker with them that could help. So here we come to a miracle that involves the breaking of a building tool, an axe. An axe head breaks off its handle and falls into the lake or to the river, falls into the water. And the bad thing is that it was a borrowed tool. I always had the policy that if I borrowed a tool from someone and it broke, I'm responsible for that, to replace that tool. I know a lot of people don't, you know, they don't do that. So that's the miracle, the finding of a fallen axe head. Now, the skeptics would say this was all a myth. You know, this was a legendary myth. I've read others that explain it to say they rationalized the miracle to say that Elijah used a stick to find the axe head. He used a big stick and to kind of find it and draw it in, you know, like you try to find a golf ball. You know, they got these big long things that you can fish a ball out of the water, you know. That's what some people think. But I tell you what, I just take God at His word. I believe God's word is true. I think this is a miracle. And God can do miracles. There's no question about it. But the point is that God would have us call upon Him at any time and in any situation where we need His help. And there's nothing too big, nothing too small where we can ask the Lord for His help. Have you ever needed some help? And maybe you didn't seem to have anywhere to turn. Well, you can turn to the Lord. And I have done it many times, and He's helped me through many things. And so the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:6 that we're to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, that's kind of the narrative of the message, but what I want to do is just spend the rest of the brief time we have here this afternoon to talk about the practical imports of what this miracle means. And I've thought, given some thought to it, about the meaning of the miracle. So what does it mean to recover the axe head that has fallen into the water? Well, I think the first thing that came to my mind in looking at this is I think we may have to sustain many losses in the Lord's work. And we will. We're going to sustain some losses in the Lord's work and even in the Lord's church. I mean, here we are, we're engaged and dedicated to serve our Lord, and all of a sudden we seem to face a great loss. And I've seen it in church. We grow as a church and we see new folks and new ministries, and we have folks that God brings in, and then suddenly it seems like they vanish. They're gone. And it's a loss. It is a loss. And, of course, we cannot always perceive why we have such losses. I don't know why that happens. I've seen things like this happen in church, you know, and you lose some key people that are teachers and people that serve and, you know, people that give, and you know, you kind of question it sometimes. And I've had this happen many, many times in my ministry. I've always appreciated them when they come to me to say, we're leaving here, and here's explain to you why. And we had that with Brother Blake and his wife. Well, we sure hated to lose them. He was a good teacher and preacher and faithful. He went to work as a car salesman. And I kind of perceived that he was going to just totally get out of the ministry. I mean, he really wanted to be a pastor, and that just didn't work out for him, and so he's selling Lincoln Continentals over there in Daytona. And they took us out for a lunch over at the IHOP. And he said, well, he said, I have bad news for you. I said, well, what's that? Well, we're leaving. We're going to find a church over closer to where we live, over there in Daytona Beach, Ormond Beach area. And I said, well, you know, we hate to lose you, but as like I told him, and I've told other people, you know, I don't presume to know God's will for everybody. I don't know. I don't presume to tell you where you should go or what you shouldn't do. I recall many, many years ago, we had a family, well, a couple, and they told me the same thing. They were going to move back to Kentucky. They were going to move back there. And I perceived in my spirit, and maybe it was the Lord speaking to my heart, I don't know, but I perceived that it was not God's will for them to do that. And I told them that. I said, you're making a mistake, because they were moving for the wrong reason. They didn't even have a church home really where they could really go. And so they, well, we feel we're going to move. And they went through a lot of, I mean to tell you, it was a disaster. I mean, it was a disaster for them to move. They ended up losing most everything they had. And the brother got injured, seriously injured, and working, and became disabled. And so they ended up coming back here, and they lived in a hotel for a while, and they came back to church, which I'm glad they did. But I remember him telling me, he said, I wish we had listened to you, because you were right. It was not of God. We made a mistake in moving away from here. So a lot of times it's hard to know. And but there's another thought here. It could be. Now, it could be that God removes some people from our fellowship, because the Lord can see things that we don't see. And we really don't know the hearts of a lot of people, what's really going on, but God sees it. And I think sometimes God may remove people from a church to save that church from a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. It's really, really true. But when the loss takes place, it's not always our fault. Now, it may be sometimes. Sometimes it may be. But a lot of times it is simply not that at all. And I think that was the case of this guy chopping down a tree or whatever he was doing with that axe. He was putting forth a good work, swinging his axe, and he was happy and feeling good about what he was accomplishing. And so he takes a big swing with that axe, and all of a sudden he's the worst feeling in the world. You know, you feel that axe, next thing you know, you just feel a stick in your hand, and you're looking, oh, where'd that thing go? That splash, you know, there it is, in the right in the middle of the pond, you know, you might say. And it wasn't his fault. I mean, he, you know, it was, there was some weakness in that axe. Maybe it hadn't been used for quite a long time. And so it's not always the fault of people why losses are experienced. Talking about people that leave the church, you know, we had some folks that kind of just disappeared on us. They did a disappearing act, and And we tried everywhere in the world to contact them. They wouldn't take our calls. They wouldn't call us back. Just, you know. So I basically said, okay, I'll just give up on it. And we had another man contact them, and they said, well, it's health reasons. It's health reasons. Well, we found out just a little while ago that it wasn't that at all. It was something else. I kind of figured that. I kind of put that together, that it wasn't health reasons. They were upset about some things and offended at some things. And then you have to look at the track record. You know, everyone has a track record, right? And you know, I've found as a minister pastoring churches that there are some people that never stay long in a church. You just can't keep them long. I know some preachers that can't stay in a church for more than 2 years. The Southern Baptist Convention did a survey, and they said the average pastor of a Southern Baptist church stays for 2 years, and then they move on. And I think what happens there is when a pastor comes to a church, it's like a honeymoon. You know, it's a marriage, and it's like a honeymoon, you know, and getting to know each other, and everything's exciting. And then after a while, after a couple years, it sets in, you know. And some men will go to a church every couple years. They think that it's going to be better at the next church. You know, they just somehow, well, I've got problems here, but I'm going to go to this other church and I won't have those problems. Oh, yeah, you will. I've pastored 4 churches, as I told you this morning, and I got to tell you that I found out that people are about the same in every one of them. Their people are just about the same. You run into the same kind of problems everywhere you go. So, you know, changing geography does not solve your problem necessarily. It doesn't. There's always problems at the next place. So there's a track record. And some people will never stay long, and you can't really count on them. And it, as I said this morning, it's a matter of conviction or convenience. But what are you willing to trade the truth for? Beloved, we ought to, if we find the truth of God's word, we ought to hold to that. Buy the truth and sell it not, you know, the Bible tells us. So here we see a genuine need. This fella chopping down whatever he was chopping, a beam, loses his axe. And in those days, you couldn't go down to Lowe's and get another one. That's not quite how it worked back in those times. So a miracle is in order. We have to understand that when we are engaged in serving the Lord, there's going to be problems like this. There's going to be losses that we have to deal with, and there might even be opposition that we deal with. But just because we have opposition doesn't mean that we're out of the will of God. We understand that. It is then that we need more faith in God to face whatever the issue is, whatever the problem is. We're not just going to give up. Quite often, yes, we cry over the loss, as this man did. He cried in verse 5, and he said, "Alas, Master, it was a borrowed. I had to borrow this. Now what are we going to do? I've lost it." Significant loss. And he really is not quite sure where the axe head fell into the water. So now he turns to the prophet Elisha for help. The man of God said, okay, where'd it go in? Where'd the axe head fall in? And he showed him the place. And we read here that Elisha cut down a stick and cast it in hither, and the Bible says a miracle took place. Next thing you know, you see this axe head, this big piece of iron on the surface of the water swimming. Now, I believe that. I believe that happened. So Elisha cuts a stick. Now, what is that? A branch of a tree? No, I kind of think, and I can't prove it, but I think he basically cast in one of them big 2x4s into the water to find the axe head. It wasn't a divining rod. You know what that is? Well, I'm from Kentucky, and I've seen some of the old folk used to use that to find water. They cut out a stick, a branch is certain, and hold that thing by 2 branches and walk around there, and that thing would start lowered and moving, and there's water there. And there must be something to that. That's how they used to find water. I guess don't beat it until you've tried it, I suppose. But in these days, they have seismic equipment, and man, they got stuff now and technology that they can X-ray the ground, and they can sure find it. Well, the point is, what can we do about the losses that we face? Well, I believe we can certainly pray for God's help, and we can pray for the restoration of God's work. You know, I see some of our sister churches that just have given up, and they've closed their doors. They've just give up and closed the doors. And maybe that's what they wanted to do all along. I pastored a church in Ocala, did just that. I left there, of course, came here, and they called a pastor who was the son of one of our former BFM missionaries, and the guy went in there, and he, I don't know how solid he was, but they got to the point where they couldn't pay him any more money. They couldn't pay him any more salary. And so the men of that church, they just got together one night and said, let's close it down. And they did. And they sold the property, and they even divided up the money amongst themselves that was left. I'd been there 8 years. I didn't get anything out of it. But I wasn't looking for anything. That'd be about the last thing I'd want, is to make a profit off something like that. That's God's money. And it was kind of a sad thing, because that was really the only sound church that I knew of anywhere up in that particular area, at least that I'm aware of. But there was no commitment. Why, friends, half the time, half those people were gone. They would go here and there. They'd go to gospel concerts and cruises and stuff. And they'd leave me with the church, you know, with just a few people in there. And they've all gone on a trip. They've gone on a gospel singing cruise. And the straw that took the camel's back for me is I had planned a revival meeting, contacted a man, said, we're going to have this meeting in such and such a time. And wouldn't you know, a couple weeks before that meeting, a bunch of them came to me and said, well, preacher, half of us are going to be gone. They're having a big gospel concert down at this Nazarene church. And we're going to be gone that Sunday of the meeting. I canceled the meeting, and I decided that's it for me. I'm out of here. And it wasn't but a few days after I made that decision that I got a call from a guy named Andy Wilson and said, hey, we're looking for a pastor over here at Jordan Baptist. Can you come over here? And I said, yeah. I knew that was the Lord's will. But I've seen these losses take place. But you know, I think we can renew our commitment to Christ. And we can renew our commitment to the church. And we don't have to shut the doors. We don't have to close down. If we'll have faith in God and serve the Lord, you know, we don't have to lose that. And, you know, I think one solution I've always found is, you know, what the psalmist said, and you remember Psalm 126, look at this. Here's a great solution. He said here in Psalm 126 that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue was singing, and then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. I tell you what, folks, if you ever forget the things that God's done for you, you're in trouble. I know we're going to go through losses. I know we're going to experience trials. I know even a church will go through times of declension. I understand that. I've seen it. But can we not still say, thank God for what He's done for us? Thank God He has sustained us. Thank God He has brought others to replace those that left. And I've seen the Lord do that. The Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the desert. They're praying for something better. They're praying for blessings. They're praying for restoration. And notice what they do. Verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They're sowing the seed, right? They're preaching the gospel. They're witnessing for Christ. Can't we do that? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If we're willing to go with the right heart and attitude, if we're willing to share the precious seed, if we're willing to share the gospel with the lost, the Bible promises that we're going to gain from that. We're going to be blessed. And I thought about this just yesterday. And I played in a golf tournament at Zellwood Country Club. We got done. And I decided to stay there at the scorer's table. And I ordered a big chili dog and chips. And I'm sitting there and these guys are coming in. And they're cursing, taking God's name in vain. You know, one man, he cursed God for how he played in his game. And then he looks at me and says, oh, preacher, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I said. He did it two or three times. And I'm thinking to myself, no, you're not. You knew I was sitting here. You're not sorry for that. And I kind of felt like, you know, leaving there, driving out of that place, I thought, man, I don't even know if I want to mess with these guys any longer. Going through that, having to listen to that stuff. But another thought came into my mind. And it's like the Lord said, isn't that why I placed you here? So that you could be a witness for me? Even though they curse and swear and act foolishly and even ridicule me, am I not there to be God's witness and a testimony for Christ to those people? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why God put me there. And that and I kept thinking, you know, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm not serving just some people. I'm serving you. And if you keep that thought in your mind, who you're serving, that'll keep you going. I mean, if you just start looking at people and you start looking at losses and you start looking at what's wrong, I mean, you can build up such a negativity that you know what happens? You forget that you're serving Jesus. You're doing this for Him. And you got to keep that in your mind. That though the loss sustained, our spirits often grieve, but by and by we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, because we're still sowing the truth. We're still standing for the truth. We're still preaching the gospel. That's what it's all about. Well, the recovery of the axe head has an important spiritual meaning. And I'll kind of let you go with this, just a few things. What is the spiritual meaning of this miracle? Well, here it is. I think what has been lost can be recovered. It can be recovered. Brother Ken, we were talking about at lunch about the problems that folks face, you know, back surgery. You had a fall. Like Ken fell last week, hurt himself, hurt his knee. Sickness, COVID. And these things happen to us. And it's really hard. But Donna said to me, well, you know the old saying, this too shall pass. And it will. This too shall pass. What has been lost can be recovered. We're not giving up. Are you going to give up? Oh, you've had a loss, right? You've had a setback. Maybe you've had surgery. You've had your sickness or your financial loss. And you're going through some things or divorce or you're going through. Are you going to give up? Or are you going to hang in there with God? The Bible tells us in verse 4 that they cut down wood. The Hebrew word for stick indicates a substantial piece of wood, maybe a beam like a rafter that had been prepared. The commentators really don't know. I looked them up. They don't know what the stick was. In my opinion, I believe Elisha went over there and cast a beam into that water. Either a 4x4, 2x4, whatever. He cast that thing in. And we read that the iron axe came to the surface and miraculously swam to the bank of the river where it was recovered. Now, I used to think when I read this that the axe head attached itself to the large beam of wood, but that's not said. It just says they recovered the axe head, that what was lost was found. And it just reminds me of the reason that Jesus came to the world. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. He saves the lost. God finds His lost ones and He secures them by the means of a beam of wood. You know what that is, don't you? That's the cross. The beam is cast into the water. And it finds the axe head, and Christ died on a cross to find us. He found us. That what has been hopelessly lost can be found again. You note that Elisha instructs the young prophet to reach in the water and take that metal axe. Reach in there, verse 7, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and he took it. He reached down and took it. And if you want the Lord, you must reach out to him. Now, he's come to reach you, but you must reach out to him. Reach out and take Christ as your Savior and your friend. And then we can seek the Lord to restore what is lost. We can lose blessings. We do. And maybe we don't feel as close to Jesus as we used to. Maybe we have lost assurance and we've lost the sense of his presence. But thank God this can be restored. We just have to find out, like Elisha asked that young prophet, where did the axe fall? Where fell it? Was the question. And so we search our hearts and, you know, where did you fall off? That's a good question, right? Maybe you've kind of backslid from God, or you've gotten away from the Lord, from the church. Well, how did that happen? Most of the time, some problem came up. You had a loss in some sort. And you failed to judge your own spiritual decline. What you need to do is take your beam and put it into the water. And I believe that, again, represents the cross. And I think what we need to do in a time of loss is to plead the merits and peace of the cross of Christ. Come back to the Lord. He knows where you are. And he's willing for you to come back to him. Friends, we're always restored at the foot of the cross. And that's where we have to come. And then we can request the presence of our Master. I'm going to tell you, if you left God, he didn't leave you. You left him. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the Lord promised us. He doesn't leave us. We end up leaving him. But I think of John Newton, who wrote the little poem. And he said, not one concern of ours is small if we belong to him. To teach us this, the Lord of all once made the iron to swim. There's no case too small or too great when we can go to the Lord and present our situation to the Lord. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. Put my trust in God. Pray to him. And follow his will. And once again, seek his presence in our lives. And once again, love him and experience revival. That's what our churches need. We need a revival from the Lord. And I pray that we can see that even in these days. Well, may the Lord bless you. I hope that this has helped you. If you have a loss in your life, just go to the Lord. He knows where that loss is. He can help you to find it again. Amen. Our Father, bless the word to our hearts today. Lord, it is not easy to experience losses like this young man experienced, but often we do, and it can be very hurtful to us. It can be discouraging. to go through things that we go through. But Lord Jesus, you are our Savior and you're our Lord, and you know what we need. And so, Lord, we bring our cares and our losses to you. We lay them at your feet. We know you have a reason for it. We don't always understand the reason why, but we know you have a reason for what you allow in our lives. Teach us to put our trust in you. And we thank you for even these losses, because we know that there's a lesson to be learned. And we know that the greatest gain is, Lord, is your being close to you and following you. Lord, we pray that we will gain that. That's so much greater than what we've lost. Go with us now, Father, as we leave this place, and we pray your rich blessings of health and strength to everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen.